So we're winding down our study on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we've got two left. Tonight we're going to be talking about the fruit of gentleness. Fruit of gentleness. Our text, of course, we'll just go over this again. Maybe you guys could read it with me. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen. So love, just to review, love is the first fruit and the basic element in all the fruit of the Spirit. God is love, and the fruit of His Spirit is the very essence of who God is. And this fruit of the Spirit is formed in us as we live and walk in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week we looked at the fruit of faithfulness, which is love's trustworthiness. And now tonight we are studying the fruit of gentleness. Gentleness is love's humility. Gentleness is love's humility. When we come to the revelation that God is in control, when we have surrendered our lives to Him and humbly submit our lives to His will, we can know then His ultimate peace and rest in His ever-presence. Does that make sense? We're completely submitted to the Lord. We can actually have the opportunity to know that peace that passes understanding, because we'll be in His presence, walking and abiding in Him day by day. That's our goal, right? And as we do that, this fruit can be formed in us. When you know the gentle shepherd is with you at all times and He loves you more than His own life, when all fear is gone because you know that He holds the future, then you too can be gentle and humble of heart. Now, I think I told you at the beginning of the study, I don't know if you remember or not, that the one fruit that seemed to be, as of late, that I was asking for and wanting to develop more was this fruit of gentleness and been asking the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure why the Lord laid this particular fruit on my heart, other than, you know, it's more than just a characteristic that we display during time, certain times. Gentleness is a little different. Gentleness is to be a lifestyle. A mark of the Christian at all times, to have this gentle and quiet spirit. And so this is just something that the Lord laid in my heart to be praying for. Lord, develop this gentleness in me. Help me to be a gentle person. When persecution comes, help me to respond as Jesus would respond. You know, when my emotions get stirred up, help me to respond as Christ would respond. Jesus' most obvious characteristic was probably His gentleness. I think even before He said or did anything, before He spoke gentle words or acted in loving kindness, His gentle spirit could be sensed. I can just imagine people, crowds could see Him coming from a way off, and they'd be like doing a double take, like, what is that? Who is that? I'm sure even the way He walked, His very presence, of course. Can you just imagine the look in His eye, just this loving, gentle spirit? Before He even said or did anything, even the way He raised His hand to heal you. Just a gentle, gentle spirit. And you know that people could see the difference before He did or said anything. He was mild. He was meek and full of grace. And Jesus himself described himself as gentle and humble of heart in Matthew. We read that. When he did that, when he described himself as gentle and humble of heart, he was describing a strength of his character, not a weakness. Now, the world might see meekness and grace and gentleness as weakness. You agree with that? But no, in Jesus, that was his strength. The world hears meek and mild and thinks weakness, but Jesus' gentleness and humility were the very hallmarks of his strength. Gentleness is love's humility. And with love's humility, we were saved. Because of Christ's humility, we live, amen, and have eternal life. It was by his grace that we are saved, amen. Now on Tuesday, with the guy Justin Slade's Kaiser, we were talking about the attitude of Christ, what our attitude should be. I think Wednesday night group was talking about Philippians as well. And you guys read that, right? I gave you an assignment. Our attitude should be this. Apostle Paul says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to hold on to or to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Now, our attitude is to be like Christ's attitude of humility, not holding on to our own rights, what we deserve, or what we think should be coming to us, but looking out for the best of others, you know, loving others like Jesus did, serving, caring, laying our lives down for one another. Amen? Paul urges us further in Philippians 4:5. He says, as imitators of Christ, he says, to let your gentleness be evident to all. So Paul's already assuming that we have some gentleness. But some other words for gentleness are reasonable. Let your reasonableness, your fair-mindedness, be charitable, be considerate in all things. Okay, and other versions of the scripture use different words to describe gentleness. Let me just read these to you. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your gentleness be obvious to everyone. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. Let your gracious attitude be known to all people. Let everyone see your gentleness, and let your humility be known to every person. Let everyone know how considerate you are. Let your fairness be known. Let your modesty and your moderation be known. Your forbearing spirit. Let your forbearance be known to all. And this just means that we're not to seek vengeance against those who treat us unfairly or falsely accuse us of things. We're not to be overly concerned about our own rights or standing up for what we think we deserve. This is different from what society teaches us, isn't it? Most of us were raised very differently from this. Our society is obsessed with standing up for our own rights and putting ourselves in number one. And we're encouraged to be aggressive and seek our own interests first and to step on everyone who gets in our way. Our goals are number one. Everybody else can fall by the wayside. But that's not Jesus' way. In contrast, Jesus taught us that the meek shall inherit the earth. There is no other single characteristic than gentleness that can better distinguish the Christian from the rest of the world. Do you want me to say that again? I got it up there. There is no other single characteristic than gentleness or meekness that can better distinguish the Christian from the rest of the world. We're told to turn the other cheek. That's not what the world teaches us, is it? In humility, we're to value others and consider their interests above our own, the Apostle Paul tells us. And this is not a spineless stance in relationship as the world may see it, but rather a solid force, a graciousness that causes us to stand even in the face of opposition and to do the will of God with gentleness and confidence in Him. We don't have to yell and scream and declare our own rights in our own way, or that we're right, you're wrong. No, in gentleness and in humility, we can stand in confidence that we're righteous in God's sight. Amen? Gentleness is one of the rarest of Christian graces and is declared to be precious in the sight of God. Peter tells us that your beauty should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And we can finally be still and know that He is God. When we can do that, then gentleness can be ours. When we can learn to just sit and trust Him and know that He's in control despite the storms raging around us, then we can know gentleness as well. If we're not easily offended, then we can know gentleness. We can know that God is our defender, our protector, our provider. Amen? We can rest in Him. When we know that we are loved, then gentleness can be ours. No striving, no worrying, no jockeying for position. When we know that we know that we know that we are loved and the gentle shepherd is watching over us, we can have confidence that the Lord is near and can rest and have peace in His presence. And our gentleness then can be evident for others to see. You see how important it is for us to know who we are in Christ? Because when we know, we'll understand how deep His love is for us. And when you know that you're loved and you're cared for and you're important and you're valuable, isn't it much easier just to rest? You know, think of those children that grow up in these homes with good, supportive, loving, caring parents. And they're just these kids with all this confidence in the world. Have you seen those kids? You know, it's like, man, the kid's got more confidence than I am, and I'm 30 years older than him, you know? Because they know that they're loved. They had no reason to question that. When we know how much God loves us, then we can rest in His love for us and not be afraid of what the world throws at us. Let's look at the gentleness of Jesus. character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is to be drawn and produced in us. Let's look at Jesus as our example. First of all, let's look at Jesus as the gentle shepherd. As the gentle shepherd, Jesus lovingly led and guided the disciples and fed his followers the bread of life. As a gentleman, Jesus held his hand out to the woman caught in adultery and he said, "Neither do I accuse you." And as a gentleman, Jesus sat with the children and said, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these humble little children." And as a gentleman, Jesus healed the hurting and set the captives free. He was a champion for women. As a gentle servant, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples as a loving example to them of how we are to lead by serving, not by authoritarianism, by loving and serving one another. And Paul reveals again in Philippians that as a gentle servant, Jesus gave up his rights as Almighty Divine God. He didn't consider them something he was going to hold on to. He didn't even think about it. He was like, "No, I love them enough to give all that up to die for them." He gave his life for us as a gentle servant. And then went further, became a suffering servant. As a man, he suffered for us, giving his life in our place and then becoming a gentle sacrifice. The Lamb of God, our final sacrifice for our sins. Jesus, as the gentle sacrifice for us, was able to forego the human response that would have demanded justice. He had not sinned. He did not deserve what he had, what he got. He was paying for our sins. So he let go of that human response, and as a gentle sacrifice, he passionately pled for us. "Father, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing." And he's hanging on the cross. And he's pleading that the Father would forgive us. What a gentle sacrifice. Gentleness is love's humility. The attitude of Christ that is to be found in us. As we become more like him, more like Christ, we will be secure in the Father's unfailing love for us and not be so hurt or offended so easily, shaken by the attacks of the enemy. The gentle presence of the gentle shepherd abides in and with us always, producing within us the fruit of his gentle spirit. When you know that there is nothing to fear because the Lord is near, his gentle spirit can abide in you. When you have learned to rest in the presence of the Holy Spirit, then you can let his gentleness be evident within you to all. Philippians 4:5 says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." So you don't have to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious, for the Lord is near. His presence is near. But you are not alone in this. You don't have to figure all this out on your own. Isn't that the wonderful thing? These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit being produced in us. You cannot be a gentle creature without the fruit of the Holy Spirit put in you. Gentleness is not a natural root in the human soul. It is not organic to our makeup. It grows as you submit your character to that of the Holy Spirit. As you walk in step with the Holy Spirit, as you rest and abide in his unfailing love for you and allow him to nurture the character of Christ in you, that's when gentleness and the fruit of the Spirit can be formed in you, allowing God to do it, allowing the Holy Spirit to produce it. We can't do it on our own. We just have to submit our will to his. Amen? Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I need to be more gentle. Right now, put it in me. Please. We are to be imitators of Christ, Paul said. We cannot fake the fruit, all right? I mean, we could probably put on some things that kind of maybe look like fruit, but you know what, plastic fruit, it's just not the same. We cannot fake the fruit. Without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can never be gentle and humble of heart like Jesus. But he wants to put his character in us so that, like him, we can love others as he loves, and we can serve as he serves, and have a peace of mind and heart, even in the face of opposition, trial, and trouble, and testing. God wants to put his character in us so that we can stand against those darts of the enemy, against those attacks, those false accusations, the lies the enemy has put to trip us up, to keep us from walking in confidence in who we truly are in him and how he sees us. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The fruit of gentleness that comes from the Holy Spirit, placing the very character of Christ within our hearts and our minds. Do you want that fruit? I know I do. Let's pray to be gentle people for the world to see Jesus in us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just ask for fruit, your fruit of your Holy Spirit to be formed in us. Lord, we ask for a deeper revelation, even an infilling, indwelling of your Holy Spirit, so that fruit can begin to grow and be produced in us. And not only for our sake, Lord, so that the world might see you through us. Lord, that we might just stand as people of gentleness so that the world would be drawn to you and your character alive in us. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Amen. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me.